Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome back to the 11 o'clock hour. This is Issel and Louis. Louis is taking a couple of days off, and filling in for him is Mr. Mike Gandolfo. And Mike, I want to remind everybody that this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030. Or visit them online at ky.deltadental.com. We just got word, Mike, that Jay Davis won't be able to join us today. He had something come up. But when he is on, as he will be hopefully next Thursday, he is brought to you by Mr. G's Kettle Corn. You can visit them at MrG'sKettleCorn.com. You can buy the theater corn at Kroger's, Rupp Arena, or the Western Kentucky basketball games. And if you're looking for a stocking stuffer, they have a Kentucky basketball bag of popcorn, and you won't want to open it because the bag is beautiful. So that's Mr. G's KettleCorn.com. All right, Mike. Where do you want to go next?
Well, did you see the rather efficient performance last night by Mr. Devin Booker?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Go ahead.
I mean, number one, 51 points in 31 minutes is a lot. I mean, that's unbelievable right there in itself. But when you think about, okay, in the NBA, if Kobe went out and scored 60 or whatever else, the volume of shots it would take for that to happen, Booker went 20 for 25, 6 for 7 from three-point range, 5 or 6 from the line to get that 51 points. And he scored every way imaginable. I mean, he showed how versatile of a scorer he was in that game. I thought it was one of the greatest performances that you know, just looking at the highlights. I didn't watch the game live or anything, but it was incredible to me to see the efficiency in that offense.
Yeah, now remember that Devin, 5 years ago, scored 70 points in a game. But people are saying this was even a better performance because, as you said, the efficiency. Let me tell you, anybody, Mike, who can get up 25 shots in 31 minutes, that's a man after my own heart right there. He wasn't looking to pass the ball. When he got it, he was shooting it. You know, the NBA, we don't talk a lot about the NBA on this show, but it's as confusing as college basketball.
It really is.
I mean, there are some teams that are supposed to be good that are awful, and there are some teams who you thought coming in to this season were going to be awful that have really stepped up and are playing good basketball. I think it's fun to watch.
Well, and especially, you know, the East with the Celtics, who lost their coach at the beginning of the year, and then the Celtics just look like they're phenomenal. But I'm really interested just on how these teams that are playing at these high levels, on how they're constructed. You know, we saw this this push to have the big three. And really that big three concept goes all the way back to those Celtics and Lakers teams in the 80s, right? I mean, they both had big threes.
Yep.
And now it's kind of transitioned to really just like having these defined roles on your team. Maybe you don't need to have three stars. You know, that Phoenix team really doesn't have three stars. You know, it's got Chris Paul's out right now with an injury, but he's not the Chris Paul of old. It's for him. He gets to go do probably what he's best at. I mean, he gets to set up DeAndre Ayton. He gets to set up Devin Booker. But he's far from his all-star self. The Celtics, you could argue, probably have – they have two stars for sure with Jaylen Brown and Tatum. But they've surrounded those guys with, like, to me, Al Horford, to have the NBA career that guy has had to stay in the league as long as he stayed because he knows
his role. And just got an extension.
Yeah.
Got a two-year extension.
Man, I'll tell you what. And Marcus Smart, you know, just from what he does for them as well. He was one of the first guys that I recruited to play in the Derby Classic. A kid that back when he was in high school especially, I know he did some questionable things later on, but a kid that I just was probably one of my favorite players that we ever had coming to the Derby Classic. And just to see what he does with his grit and how he runs the point guard spot in a very unconventional way, and how he leads with defense. And I just think it's fascinating. You know, you got the Bucks and the Celtics are going to have this great battle going down, and the Bucks have got Giannis who's – what is your take on Giannis? When you watch a guy like Giannis, I mean, is it like watching old clips of Dan Issel in the 70s?
No. This kid's athletic. I couldn't jump over a phone book. I mean, I had to use my head when I played more than my physical gifts. But no, this kid, you know, and the last couple of years, and I love Jokic just because he's a Denver player.
Sure.
He's a two-time reigning MVP, and deservedly so. But the discussion the last couple of years has been, well, is the MVP Jokic or is the MVP Embiid? I think you could give the MVP to this kid every year. I mean, when he starts going downhill, there ain't anybody that can stop him.
Right.
I mean, he's either going to take the ball to the goal and score, or he's going to get fouled and get free throws, or both. And so and he plays with such effort too. He probably plays as hard as any superstar in the league right now, and that's what I love about him.
And I tell you, but it's that Denver team's right there with Phoenix. I mean, that Denver Phoenix battle down the stretch run is going to be a whole lot of fun to watch there too, and especially if you get to see Booker go against Jamal Murray. For the local interest here, I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And, you know, if you're a Kentucky fan, you get to turn on the TV and you get to watch a lot of your guys play at a pretty high level.
Absolutely. And I love the point you made. Instead of the big three, to be successful in the NBA today, you kind of have to have the big two and then a guy that's willing to sacrifice some part of his game to make the team better, like you mentioned, Smart and his defense with the Celtics, and that's kind of you mentioned Phoenix, and I love Chris Paul. Chris Paul is one of, at his prime. Chris Paul is one of the players in the league that I would actually pay to go watch play because he's old school as far as how he plays the game of basketball. But, you know, his career, he's at the tail end of his career. And so with Ayton and Booker, you know, he's kind of the guy that the third guy that's sacrificing there. So I think that's an excellent point. It's kind of moving in that direction. And I think the teams that were thought to be good, like the Nets, like the Lakers, the Clippers to a certain extent, they have the big two, but they don't have anybody willing to sacrifice, that third person willing to sacrifice to make the team better. And I think that's why they're struggling like they are.
They also have they also have one thing that the good teams don't have, and that's a lot of drama. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been a GM in the NBA, and I mean, when you're looking at kind of how you construct these teams, like I go back to the 1980 Olympic hockey team, right? And Brooks saying that it's not about getting the best players, it's about getting the right players. I mean, what is that process even like? I mean,
you have to be careful. Because I made one of the biggest mistakes when I was a GM for the Nuggets. I made one of the biggest mistakes I made as a GM, passing on a guy that I thought, that I was told by his college coach was a bad character, and instead, you know, went for a kid that was outstanding. As far as character was concerned, the problem was he couldn't play basketball. So you have to be real. Yeah, there's a real fine line that you have to walk there. You can't have a bunch of idiots in your locker room. That is for sure. But you can't have a bunch of really good guys who aren't quite as talented. That doesn't work either. But you like to be right down the middle of the road, Mike, where you don't have this drama going on all the time. And the way I tried to keep a handle on it, tried to keep an old coach, when I first started coaching, I asked Don Nelson. You remember Donnie Nelson?
Yeah, absolutely.
The great Celtic player, great player in college at
Long-time
Iowa.
Warriors coach.
Yeah, and one of the best NBA coaches that we've
had. Did
he
have the record for the most wins in the NBA for a while?
I think at one time he did, yeah. But I asked Donnie and I got to be pretty close. I don't even know why, but whenever we played the Warriors – you know, in those days, you didn't have charter flights. You didn't leave the town as soon as the game was over. And I'd go out to dinner with Donnie and try to pick his brain. And Donnie gave me one bit of advice that was great. He said, no matter what happens in the game, if you win or you lose, your post-game talk always has to be the same. He said, because what you say in the locker room after a game, the players are going to turn around and just regurgitate that same thing to the press when they come in. And so that what I always tried to do with my team was keep it in the locker room. I told the guys that played for me, you got a problem with me, you know, that's fine. You be man enough to come into my office. We'll close the door and we'll talk about it. If I have to read about your problem with me in the press, then we've got more of a problem than you think. And so I thought that was great advice. Go in there, tell the players exactly what you want them to say when they talk to the media. And almost without fail, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure it is. And I'm sure that trickles down to the college game as well. You know, I mean, coaches have got to be very careful about that. And I know that we've had some coaches here who sometimes use the press to motivate their players. But, you know, it's definitely an interesting point. But I am fascinated because I do look at, you know, I guess I get nerdy about weird things about team architecture and how teams are built and how the pieces are kind of fitting together. And I'm seeing this shift in the NBA, but I think it's also shifting over in the college game right now, Dan. I mean, I think this is why we're surprised about the upsets we're seeing in the college game. Like, the mix that you have to have right now in the college game to be successful, as I feel like, you know, there has to be this core of guys that kind of played together for a while. Maybe it's a core group of guys that protects your culture and protects the way that you do things in this program. You've got to probably bring in one or two of those high-end young talents that aren't looking to stay very long. I don't think you can do it with a team of newcomers every year, for example. You know, and that's actually why I'm actually a little bit optimistic about this Kentucky team, because I feel like if they can kind of figure out a couple things, I think they could almost flip a switch and it could look a whole lot different in January and February.
Yeah, and they certainly have the talent to do that.
And I think they have the pieces, right?
Yeah. But, you know, they've got to, as we've said, they've got to start executing on both ends of the floor. Don't go out there and think you're going to beat teams just because you have more talent. you've got to go out there and execute on both ends of the floor if you think you're going to beat really good teams when it comes down to it.
But I look at, like, you know, right now, I guess Matt Painter is probably the coach of the year, right, at Purdue. I can't imagine with how well they're doing, but they're obviously building their team. Houston's doing the same thing. They've got a veteran star player who's been able to kind of bring in, and can, again, Kentucky has a veteran star player who's, by all accounts, is a high character individual who's able to bring all these other pieces kind of along for the ride. Like, the coach, and this I think would go true in the NBA and in college basketball, the coach can only do so much. At some point, like, there's got to be some ownership from some guys in the locker room.
No question.
Yeah.
No question. Yeah. It can't do it. It can't do it all. And that's why I've tried to, with the criticism that Kenny's getting, and some of it is right. Kenny, you know, he didn't build a roster that can be competitive at Louisville, and so you can blame him for that. But, you know, at some point, the players have to step up too, and so you know, there's enough blame to go around at U of L for everybody, but to single out a coach or a player, everybody has to take responsibility.
Speaking of Louisville, it is a Louisville basketball doubleheader coming up on Sunday. Kenny Payne and Louisville basketball host Miami with the pregame beginning at 11:30 a.m. Tip off at 1 on 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app. And then directly following Paul Rogers and the network postgame, it's the Miller Lite postgame show with Taylor Lynch. We'll take your calls, texts, and hear from Kenny Payne. Jeff Walls then and the Louisville women's basketball team are on the road at Middle Tennessee with pregame beginning at 4:30, tip off at 5, all on 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app. All right, so Louisville, you mentioned Louisville going into this, and then we went right into that read. They obviously hire a new president right there. What is that? What did you make of anything on the president's side, especially, like, I always thought when everything went down at Louisville, you know, they kind of did it backwards, but they had to. They had to hire the athletic director and the basketball coach and then the president. But then everyone who doesn't get hired by that president is kind of sweating a little bit, right?
Yeah. And that's why in an ideal situation, it would have been the exact opposite. Because I don't know this lady. I don't know what her, you know, obviously academics are very important to her. She wouldn't have gotten the job. But does she realize how important the athletic department is to a university in a number of ways? You know, there was a story, Mike, about how many applications for admission St. Pete's got after they beat Kentucky.
Right.
So there's all kinds of tie-ins to the university through the athletic department. But so she has inherited an athletic director, a basketball coach, well, all the coaches, but a basketball coach and a football coach. And, you know, is she going to leave them alone? Is she going to be out on the field hugging players after the game like Capiluto does down in Kentucky? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. But whether you like to admit it or not, the athletic department is a very important piece of these universities.
It's the best advertising you can get.
No question.
And no matter like what else your school does academically or whatever else, the best advertising a school can get is their athletic program. And it happens even here in the high school level. So I went to St. X. My son's at St. X. I taught at St. X for a little bit. And the same thing. If St. X wins a state football championship the week before the placement exam happens, they have more kids take the placement exam at St. X. You know, it's who wins that St. X Trinity game.
Funny how that works.
And at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm a big believer on how athletics supports the academic side. But if the president's going to come in here and set the tone, you're either going to embrace athletics. This lady, I'm getting the feeling like she doesn't have a background really from a administrative. She comes from the business world, actually. She's got a lot of business, venture capitalist kind of stuff.
Okay.
I have a feeling she's going to probably leave them alone and let them kind of do their thing until they become a problem. And then, of course, you've got some presidents that are going to just, like, underemphasize athletics, and which is would never work here at all. So it'll be interesting to see the path she takes, and then, you know, if you're Josh Hurd and you're not her guy, but I don't think she's going to have a guy. So I think that's what is probably the best thing. And we're going to see the same thing here with Neil Brown at West Virginia. It looks like he's going to get another year
right
to be the football coach now that they're making the change at athletic director, that they don't really – he might not have his guy yet. So Neil's going to get some – so Neil Brown will not be the new offensive coordinator for the Kentucky football team.
We can cross that one off the list. Yeah.
I don't know if he was ever seriously – I know right now the big buzz is like, let's bring back Liam Cohen, which I don't know. Maybe that happens. Maybe it doesn't. So
I don't know. It's I mean, why, if he left, and I know the Rams are having a terrible year, and it looks like Stafford is out for the year,
right?
And so it's not going to get any better for the Rams. So, you know, maybe he would be looking at a different situation. I made the argument yesterday when Louie and I were talking about Cohen. You know, Cohen had a lot of success at Kentucky last year. They won 10 games. The offense was outstanding. He also had three offensive linemen that play in the NFL now. And so, you know, I'm not ready to say if Sangarello had those three guys on the offensive line, you know, would he have won the South Carolina game, the Vanderbilt game? My argument would be yeah. So just getting – the thing I can't believe, Mike, is that Stoops, who has had four and now five offensive coordinators in 5 years, is not taking any of the criticism for any of this. And I'm not ready to say that Cohen is a better offensive coordinator than Sangarello. I mean, you know, most Kentucky fans probably are, but I'm not, because they didn't have the same tools to work with. So,
well, and I would actually argue that the main difference is not necessarily. I mean, yes, we lost those three guys in the NFL, but I do feel like the way that position was recruiting is that we had people that could be next man up kind of ways, but. Not having, like, John Schlarman still had an influence on last year's team.
Yep.
And then this year he did not. So that's the offensive line coach at Kentucky who passed away. I really feel like that's a bigger loss than those three guys who were in the NFL.
No, we'll see.
I mean, I think if Schlarman was there, I think we probably could have seen – we might have seen some better offensive line play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I agree with that.
I think he was an all-time kind of offensive line coach. Like, I think he was about as good as he gets.
I do know one thing. It wouldn't have taken much to make them better than they turned out.
That's very very true.
Hey, when we come back, we'll talk. You mentioned the Louisville women's basketball team.
Yes.
I also watched a little bit of that. I was all over the map last night. I was Purdue and Florida State because I wanted to see what was going on with Leonard Hamilton at Florida State.
They're bad. They're really bad.
They don't have anybody they can play. It reminds me a little bit of Louisville. I mean, they got all these long, tall, athletic kids that can't play basketball. But I also watched a little bit of the Louisville women, and man, did the wheels fall off of that in a hurry. I don't know if you saw this, Mike. They had a 14-point lead against Ohio State. Now, Ohio State's good. They're
really
good.
Number four in the country.
I think the number five, is
four,
that where they
four.
Are? Four?
Yep.
But, I mean, they had a 14-point lead and lost by 19. That's a 33-point turnaround. So, I don't know what's going on there either. But, you know, Louisville, I want to get your thoughts about Kenny.
Okay.
About Satterfield and what's going on at U of L when we come back. Just
Sounds
another
good.
Reminder, this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. No matter what dental coverage you're looking for, employees, individual, family, or vision plans, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered. You can visit them online at ky.dental.com, or you can call them at 1-800-955-2030.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Welcome back. The last segment of Issel and Louis on ESPN 680, 105.7. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Louis's out today and tomorrow, and sitting in is Mike Gandolfo. We appreciate Mike sitting in for Louis. And I want to tell you about my friends at Bear Nose Pizza. There are 14 area locations in Kentuckiana, including the original Bear Nose Pizza. That's the one right across from Bowman Field on Taylorsville Road. Stop in there, say hi to our buddy Rob Moody. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner, carry out, delivery, or dine in. Yeah, it's that good, Bear Nose Pizza. I wanted to hold Mr. Grossman over.
He's here. He's got this IU, like he's wearing
that's exactly, Mike, that's exactly where I wanted to go. Jack, how much fun was it to do the postgame show of IU in North Carolina last night?
It was a lot of fun. It was a real nice change for them to actually just do what they were supposed to do and get the job done, not make it stressful, and just... They were supposed to be the better team. They were the better team. They looked like the better team, and they took care of business. It was a very big change for Indiana basketball.
And the atmosphere in Assembly Hall looked like they were nuts up there.
Yeah, there were students camping out the night before. They had, and so the way they do it, they have a lot of general admission student seating, Dan. So they have like two sections that they give them the main level, then the rest of the students have to go to the balcony. And I saw photos of them having the full balcony sections filled up about an hour and a half before tip.
Wow!
So they were about as jacked up as you could get for a game, for sure.
Well, you know, everybody knows Jackson Davis can play, but the player that really that I was impressed with is the freshman with the hyphenated name,
Hood-Giafino, Jalen Hood-Giafino,
and
he was huge early on because, as you guys know, Leaky Black, North Carolina's best perimeter defender. I would argue he's the best perimeter defender in college basketball. My biggest worry in that game was Leaky Black guarding Xavier Johnson and taking Xavier Johnson out of the game, because Hood-Giafino's highly touted freshman. He's done a lot of good things, but he hadn't proven that he can score at a high level like he did early in that game last night. And he was so good early in that game, they had to switch Leaky Black onto him midway through the first half. That's what opened everything else up for Xavier Johnson. The fact that they couldn't leave Leaky Black on Xavier Johnson because of what Hood-Giafino did early in the game.
Yeah, good analysis, Jack.
Thanks. I get lucky every once in a while.
All right, now go back to your cubbyhole.
Hey, Dan, this weekend,
thanks, guys.
It is all conference right, championship week on ESPN Louisville. Friday, the Pac-12 championship, USC versus Utah, 7 p.m. on all ESPN Louisville stations. And these will be the games, by the way, that we'll pick tomorrow on Picks Without Pat. Saturday, the SEC championship game, Georgia versus LSU, 3:30 on ESPN 680, 105.7. Big Ten championship, then Michigan versus Purdue, 7:45 on ESPN 680, 105.7. And then the ACC championship, Clemson versus North Carolina, 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Conference championship week on ESPN Louisville is presented by UPS Jobs Kentucky. Apply today at upsjobs.com. And then also Bellarmine basketball, ESPN 680, 105.7. This is the flagship for Bellarmine basketball. The Knights are back in Freedom Hall Sunday. It's been a long time since they've been back in Freedom Hall. It's been a long time. They're going to be ready to be back in Freedom Hall. Sunday hosting Alice Lloyd College. Join Doug Orme and Mark Bug at 3:45 for pregame. Tip off at 4:00. I'm gonna have to lobby for a Bellarmine postgame show here. So
there you go.
I can host a Bellarmine postgame show. Let's do it.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. Hey, I said we were going to talk about U of L, but real quickly, and as you said, Mike, we'll give our picks tomorrow on Picks Without Pat. The four conference championship games, the ACC, after after Clemson lost to South Carolina, the ACC championship means basically nothing. But the other four could have some implication, or will have some implication on the Final Four championship. Which one of those four teams that are now number one through four, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Southern Cal, which one of those four would be the most likely to lose their conference championship game?
Well, I think the easy answer is probably TCU, but I'm going to go with Michigan because that's what Brohm does, right? I mean, when he plays those top-level teams, he no matter how good his team is, they come prepared in those spots, and I would say that it would be Purdue beating Michigan.
Wow. I certainly didn't expect that answer.
Well,
that's a great,
I gotta keep you on your toes.
Yeah, that's a great take. Yeah. That's a great take.
I mean, when you're coming off the high of how Michigan played last week and they're, you know, they probably think that they could probably coast. Like, you could see Michigan not taking this game as seriously. And again, Brohm, this is, was he like 3-0 when playing top five teams or
something ridiculous?
It's stupid. Yeah. So it would not surprise me to see Brohm pull it off here and get it. So
Now let me ask you this question,
which would be great for local radio, by the way.
you think that the Jeff Brohm conversation would start over again?
That'd be crazy.
So. All right. Well, let's follow that up then. If you're if you're Josh Hurd and you got Coach Satterfield there. You know, there's been some talk. I don't think that he's going anyplace. I mean, he was 7-5. He's going to a bowl game. He's got 2 years left on his contract. So him not being there, let's take that out of the equation. What do you do if you're Josh Hurd? Do you wait a year and see what happens next year? Or do you extend him right now?
I would extend him. And I know that's probably not the most popular take here, but I go back to I know a lot of people don't – well, I know Mitch Barnhart can be kind of polarizing. I was fascinated when
– that is the most diplomatic thing you have said this morning.
I was fascinated with again, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, like when – like year three or year four of Rich Brooks' tenure, there were people walking around with Rich Brooks farewell tour T-shirts and had the SEC schedule on the back, and you know Rich Brooks was going to go for sure. But to Barnhart's credit, he knew that the program, by other metrics, was moving in the right direction, and he stuck with Rich Brooks, and we had great success in those last couple years of Rich Brooks. Obviously, it didn't turn out the same way with Joker Phillips. He made the decision with Joker to say the program's not going in the right direction, and he shut it down. And then with Stoops, I think people could have questioned after year three and four of Stoops. It's like, is it time for us to cut bait? And he gave Stoops the time. I think I really feel like, and again, this can even go to the Kenny Payne conversation too, like, these athletic directors have got to look at and see, they've got to take this eagle eye view of where the program actually is, what is actually available to the program, what is the program facing, and is the work being done on and off the court or the floor to overcome the obstacles that are in front of them, and that they're actually, like, you know, it might be that one thing that's got to happen. And then they're going next level. Like, how, that's where the athletic director, and this goes back to even the president conversation, when the athletic director and the coach and the president are on the same page, that's when you're going to see things just really take off, and everyone's agreeing on where the direction is going to go, and I think that's what we've seen at Kentucky. I think Barnhart made a very quick decision on Joker when it wasn't going right. Well, here now with Satterfield, if you would have told me that they would have been ranked in the top 25 by the end of the year in week three, I mean, this team remarkably improved this year. They've got an unbelievable recruiting class coming in next year if they can hold it together. Part of them holding that together, I would have to think, as they committed to Satterfield, is if you extend Satterfield and show the confidence there. I don't think there's any question that the Louisville football program is going in the right direction. I think the fans that are overreacting to the Kentucky loss are, you know, forgetting, first off, like, there's a huge talent discrepancy between Kentucky and Louisville football right now.
Well, and you can spread that even further between the ACC and the SEC right now.
100%. And when you go play at that SEC stadium and you've got to play SEC physicality and SEC speed, and actually the fact that they were able to keep it where it was, I thought was commendable, especially knowing that they had a backup quarterback who I thought actually was – for the most part, did okay. I mean, I know they Louisville had three turnovers. Might have been, by the way, Kentucky's offensive line's best game of the year. It's a whole different level. And not to say that they can't get there, but they're on their way. But they need to worry about how they compete in the ACC, and they competed very well in the ACC this year. And I think
they sure did.
Yeah, and you've got something to hang your hat on there. And if the program's going in that direction. I hate to tell you, like, Louisville gets rid of Satterfield, it's not like they're going to have these great candidates knocking down the door to be here. I mean, it's like sometimes I think we overinflate what that position can be. But now, if you can go out and get a Charlie Strong, you know, and I, by the way, I'm 100% on go get the coordinator who's looking for the opportunity versus going to get the head coach who's got head coaching experience, especially for both those football positions. You know, and that worked with Charlie Strong. It's worked with Mark Stoops. That's the way to go. But right now, I think Satterfield's got it going in a direction that you can believe in.
Okay. Now, let's go on the other side of the hall. And you mentioned that Barnhart was quick to pull the plug on Joker when he realized the program wasn't going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on Kenny? And does he, because of who he is, because of the character that he has, because of his history with the program, does he get more rope, or are they going to have to pull it quickly if this thing doesn't turn around?
You've been around basketball for a long time. How well does it usually work out when someone comes back to coach the place where they played at?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very well.
Not a lot, no.
Right. I think that, you know, whether or not it works with Kenny Payne or not, they obviously felt like they had to give it a try. And I think they needed to try to – I mean, I think in some ways they were trying to unify an old-school fan base with a more recent fan base that was definitely fissured. I mean, there was Denny's guys and there was Rick guys, and they needed to be Louisville guys. And they were hoping that Kenny Payne could be that person to kind of bring it all together. I think that you are, in this situation, you're finding out that the Louisville basketball position and the Kentucky basketball position require you to be more than just a basketball coach. I'm actually fascinated tonight with the Kenny Payne show 7 to 8. I actually might tune into that because I think that you've got to be a little – I mean, you've got to – Rick and Cal were perfect for those two roles for a reason, right? I mean, the way that they would show up to those shows and what they would say, and, you know, Tom Leach or Paul Rogers could ask either one of those guys one question and the show would be over because they knew exactly what they wanted to say.
There's no question, and I've said this a number of times, to coach at these programs, you have to have a certain ego. You have to have a high opinion of yourself and pretty much a thick skin to coach at these two programs, because if you don't, and I always hold up Billy Gillespie, mm-hmm. I don't know if Billy Gillespie could coach or not, but the program ran right over the top of Billy. I mean, with his personality and his inability to handle the spotlight, I mean, there was no way he was going to be successful here.
The job just doesn't take place in the gym at those schools, right? I mean, you've got to be able to take the job, and you've got to be a fundraiser. You got to be all these things at these places. And I think, number one, I'd like to see Kenny Payne be a little bit more transparent and a little bit more open with the media conversations and the exposure to the program. I think at the end of the day, too, I mean, he's finding out he was a great recruiter with the swoosh, and now the swoosh is probably not backing him up as much. And I think that Nolan, not only him, but Nolan Smith is finding out that same thing. Nolan Smith was a great recruiter with the swoosh. And when that Nike swoosh goes away, how does that impact your recruiting? And I think I think both those guys are learning how to recruit all over again. I think we're in an era right now where you've got to figure out this NIL stuff. You've got to figure out the transfer portal stuff. Like, everything is like, going back to that, how you construct a team conversation, it's all completely been turned upside down, in my opinion, the last 2 years. And that's a lot to handle as a head coach, you know. I think,
well, it has really tripled. It's tripled the amount of work.
Absolutely.
It used to be that you just recruited kids out of high school and had the occasional transfer. Now, with the transfer portal, you have to recruit high school kids, you have to recruit kids out of the portal, and you have to recruit your own kids to keep them from going in the portal. So it's tripled the amount of work that recruiting takes.
100%. And I think that's a nuance to basketball that I think is going to play out, that we're going to see. We're going to see a lot of just coaches. I mean, I think that's why we saw the retirements of Roy Williams. That's why we saw Coach K get out. I think they were like, you know what? I'm good. Jay Wright. They got out, and they saw what was getting ready to happen. And they're like, yeah, I'm good. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because especially in Coach K's situation, because Coach K wasn't really enamored with the one and done thing to start with. He realized that if he was going to be competitive, he had to go down that road. And I don't think he ever was comfortable with that. And as we just said, when that situation tripled, I'm sure Kay, and I mean, what more was there for him to accomplish? He's
absolutely
the all-time leading. And it's funny, I have not, since the day that he walked out, I have not seen his face anyplace. And I admire the fact that he is staying out of the picture and letting Jay Shire run his own show. I think that's very admirable.
Yeah, it's actually a little unexpected on my end, but I totally agree with you on that. So going back, though, to the Kenny Payne situation, you know, the one thing, though, that you can't do as a basketball coach at any level is coach effort. And I heard Paul Rogers say this on the air on this station earlier this week about that he doesn't think he's coaching effort. He thinks that the guys are doubting themselves, like they're overthinking, which is causing them to be a step slow. But then you've got a question like, what happened? What happened in the offseason? Like, what happened in the preseason? Like, at this point, you shouldn't be – and I'm sure what they're doing might be completely different than what they've done in the past, and the vocabulary is different and everything. But at the end of the day, like, it's still basketball. Like – How bad was it? And I think that's what we don't fully grasp as fans from the outside looking in. We don't really know how bad the locker room is from that culture standpoint and if there's some drama there. We don't know how bad it was and how you know, badly these kids felt hurt by what happened by the previous regime. You know, and so this is where Josh Hurd's got to like look at all those factors and say, you know what, I see him making efforts there, and it's taking a little bit longer, but we're making progress that the sports fan is not going to see. They're just not going to see it. And for us to be able to only judge based on the 7 games that we've seen so far in those 2-hour segments of what goes on, they say 20 hours a week, but we both know that they're around those kids a lot more than 20 hours a week.
For sure.
We have no idea what happens.
No, you're right. I think the one mistake that Kenny and the coaching staff made was I think they thought there was more talent here than there is.
Yeah, they're not good.
No, when you look at what these guys are getting done on the floor, and I agree with what you said earlier. I think they're playing, or what you said, Paul said. I think they're playing extremely tight. I mean, there were some games over in Maui when these guys acted like the basketball was a hand grenade that was about to go off. I mean, they got it, and they wanted to get rid of it, whether it was a pass, a turnover, a missed shot. They wanted to get rid of it as quickly as they could. But coming in, I said, coming into this season, the two players that I thought they could really count on was L. Ellis and
the Curry kid?
Yeah. And the Curry, I don't know what happened to the Curry kid, but that has, it looks like he's about 20 pounds heavier than he was last year. But, I mean, I thought at the end of last year, Mike, I thought this kid was really going to come on and make a contribution. He's been a total disappointment. So maybe Kenny and the assistant coaches, maybe they thought there was a little more talent here than there really is, because they play just a decent team, not a good team, not a great team. They play a decent team, and you can see the difference in the talent of the players. It's unbelievable to me, and that's where I'm the most disappointed in Kenny, and I am a huge Kenny supporter, mm-hmm. and I still believe he'll get it, given the chance, he'll get it turned around. But I can't believe that they didn't add more talent to the pool that they had going into this year. And it looks like, so far, they really haven't added much for next year.
No, the recruiting's been rough. You know, I do like the Glenn kid that was playing at Mail, and I know he transferred out, but I think he could be a difference maker for them. But it's going to be interesting to see. So, but you know what I definitely do know is that today Wing Zone is coming to the ESPN Louisville side. So thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone catering to the ESPN Louisville studios. And there's not a lot of competition here right now for Dan, so I think I'm going to get some. So try.
Wait. They come out of the walls, okay. Mike. All right. Might not see anybody yet, but that food hits the table, there'll be plenty of people there eating.
It's
I guarantee
true.
You that. Well, I hear the music, so we're coming to the end of another Issel and Louie on ESPN 680-1057. Mike, great job. Great job. We appreciate you sitting in. Look forward to doing it tomorrow. We'll have Picks Without Pat, and we'll talk about the conference championship football games. And we'll have, of course, our horse racing handicapping segment where Gandolfo will really shine. Yeah. Thanks again. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 o'clock to do it all over again. We hope you'll join us. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.